Well, today we continue in Ephesians chapter 6. I have a question here. Would anyone say here this morning that you experience spiritual warfare in your everyday life? Would anyone say, I've experienced some of that, spiritual warfare? And you may not understand what I'm saying here, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute. Is last week I talked about, we're starting this series called, it's a spiritual warfare series. And last week, my message was, please take the red pill. It's taken from that movie, The Matrix. Remember that? How Neo had to take a blue or red pill, and by taking the red pill, his eyes were open that he was a slave. The whole time he was living, in a sense, a dream world that was not real. And until he took that red pill, he was living in a dream world. And I talked about last week, you guys, we are in a spiritual battle. How often do we think about that? I hardly think about it at all. And this series challenges me to look at what I experience, what comes into my mind, my feelings, my emotions, the things that happen. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need God to give us that red pill so our eyes are opened to the battle around us. Because if we are in this battle, we don't know we're in a battle, we lose. You cannot be in a battle and not know you're in a battle and win. You have to be able to know you're in a battle, and we're going to be learning on how to fight in this spiritual battle that we are all in. There's a spiritual battle right now between demons and angels. There's a spiritual battle between ourselves and the enemy and the devil and the demons. They're all after us. They're against us. They have a plan for us. We are in a spiritual battle. Are we fighting it? Are we aware of it? No, I'm not saying looking for a demon under every corner or whatever, but we are in a spiritual battle. And ultimately, it is a spiritual battle between God and the devil. But before I continue, I want to make something very clear about this spiritual battle. When we think of the battle between God and the devil, do you picture it this way? Here's God. Here's the devil. You guys, that is so untrue. Let me illustrate this. I remember years ago, much of my upbringing was on Whidbey Island, Washington, up in Seattle area, a little island called Whidbey Island. And once a year during the summer, they had an island county fair. Totally different than what you guys have here. Your guys' fair is huge. The state fair is huge. There, it's a little island county fairground where people from all over the state come to Whidbey Island. They wait in this long ferry line to catch a ferry to go to the great, small, but great island county fair. And I remember I went there for many different years, and I remember one year walking through the art exhibit, you know, where you put your art up or they put food up and you get ribbons and prizes. Well, they had this art show, and I remember still to this day a piece of art, and this is the piece of art. And on this art, you have a pool table, and around this pool table, you have the devil and Jesus playing pool. And Jesus is on the side of the table, the devil's up there with the pool stick, and he has a cue ball, and he's so there's the white cue ball, and then there's the other ball, and it's earth. It's a little ball, it's formed in earth. And you see Satan sitting there trying to get the left corner pocket. And if he gets that in that corner pocket, it's over. And on the side, Jesus is looking there with intense fear, like, oh no, is he going to get it in that corner pocket? I want us to be very clear on one thing in the spiritual battle. God's here, the devil's here. There's no comparison. God is sovereign. There's nothing he's worried about between him and the devil in that same sense. I want us to be clear on that, because we always see that little image of the little devil here, God here, and they're battling it.
God is in control. He is all powerful. Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. Only picture, I was trying to find that picture of the pool table. I couldn't find it. Only one I found on the website was God, Jesus and the devil, and they're arm wrestling. You guys, if that really happened, it'd be no problem for Jesus, right? So I just want us to be clear in this spiritual battle. We have this misconception like, oh, wow, the devil, God barely going to make it, but God is in control. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And I also want to make this statement about the spiritual battle that we will begin to learn about when we talk about the armor of God, and it's this. At the cross, Jesus defeated sin, death. He defeated the devil at the cross of Jesus Christ. He was made powerless through the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil knows his days are numbered. He wants to try to take his last stand to take as many to hell with himself that he can, but he knows he's defeated. Do we realize that today? And as we begin to start to talk about the armor of God, it all comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean the battle's over for us. He may be a defeated foe, but when you're defeated, they don't always want to go down quickly. And the devil, compared to us alone, is more powerful than us. So we need to know, yes, he's defeated, but we cannot stand against him in and of ourselves. We need help. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Listen to this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. As children of God, we have a powerful God living in us. And here Paul, in God's word, is telling us that we need power to overcome the enemy. We cannot in ourselves, we cannot outsmart him, we cannot try to be good enough, we cannot try to, okay, I'm going to do this, and the devil, man, you, come on, devil, you're going to do what I do. We cannot. And here Paul makes it clear that there is power, but it's not our power, it's God's power that's given to us through the Holy Spirit. So we are in this spiritual battle, but be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That is who we must tap in to win this spiritual battle. It's not of us. The devil's been around. He's known as being the serpent of old. He's more conniving. He's smarter. He knows probably God's word better than we do. Man, there is no way we could overcome him. But the omnipotent God lives in us through his Spirit. And the devil doesn't have a chance as we learn to fight in his strength and in his power. So here Paul says, hey, here's power and strength, but then he gives us, how do we overcome the enemy? How do we fight the enemy? And we see the answer to that in verse 11 and in verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Listen to this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And in verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. If we want to be strong in the Lord and we want to be the strength of his might, God has given us something that will give us power and strength, and that is his armor. He's given us the armor of God. And if we wear this armor, we can stand against the devil, his conniving, and the demons through his power. It is powerful armor, the armor of God. And I'd like to show a picture of a soldier with an armor. And if Doug has that picture ready, of a soldier right here. And we're going to be going in the next month or so, the different armor of a Roman soldier going into battle. Can you imagine this guy going into battle with no armor, with no shield, with no breastplate, with no helmet? It would be absurd for anybody to go into battle without armor. Yet God has given us armor, and there's many Christians that don't wear it. They don't even think we're in a spiritual battle. They don't realize it, and they don't put their armor on. And if you're not putting your armor on, you will be defeated by the devil. And so in the upcoming weeks, we are going to go through the different pieces of this armor and learn what that armor is and how we can learn to put that on so we can stand against the devil. Against the devil. This morning, there'll be a second slide. This morning, we will be talking about, what's that right there? Anybody know what that is, which armor it is? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. In verse 14 of Ephesians 6, let me just read that passage. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. We're in a spiritual battle. God's given us power and might through His Spirit. He's given us the spiritual armor. What is the belt of truth? How do we put on this belt of truth? As you see, this piece of armor is vital. Why is this belt of truth? Why is the belt vital to the Roman soldier? It holds the sword. It protects the midsection from the enemy. It attaches the breastplate, holds it secure. Can you imagine going to battle, you don't have a belt and you're running and your breastplate is kind of jumping up and down as you go into battle? Or going into battle and you always have to carry your sword as you march into battle? The belt of truth. The belt is to protect the midsection of the Roman soldier. It's to hold the sword. It's to hold the armor securely together. The belt of truth. When you hear the word truth, anybody, what comes to your mind? Truth. Something is true. Anybody? What was that? You think God? Okay. Anybody else? What do you think of the word truth? Something is truth. Huh?
Honesty.
Honesty, okay. Okay, requires studying. You just don't know. We wish we all knew it. Okay. Real fact. Okay. Something that yet is real, is certain. Something that can be validated. As a Christian, how do we know what is true? I just feel that God is like Santa Claus. Ho, 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 ho! And you just go to Him when you need something. How do we know if something is true about God? Bible. His Word. If we want to know the truth, if we want to know how to put on the belt of truth, it is found in God's Word. If we want to know what God's like, what is God like? What does God seem to do in certain situations? What are some attributes of God? What is God like? How do we know? It's in God's Word. If you go and ask someone on the street, what's God like? Most likely they'll tell you, if they went to church, maybe what they learned. But lots of times, well, I think God's this way. Well, I think God is loving, but God would never do this, because in their rational mind, they try to make up these things on how they feel about God. But the difference with a Christian is we need to form our mind to what God's Word says and not try to form God to what our own minds come up with, what we think God should be like. God has given us His Word, the truth, and it is to reveal to us who God is. If you want to know God, We go to God's Word. If you want to know what pleases God, does this please God? Well, let's go to His Word. Let's find out. If we want to know what grieves the very heart of God, we go to His Word. The Word of God. Listen to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Some of Scripture is God-breathed. Is that what it says? All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Where do we find the truth? How do we begin to put on a belt of truth? Is through God's Word, is drenching ourselves in God's Word, the belt of truth. Listen to what Jesus said on His last prayer before His crucifixion. Or actually, one of His last prayers before His crucifixion. John 17, 17. He prays for His disciples. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Set them apart. Set them apart by Your Word. Your Word is truth. Sanctify them by Your Word. Your Word is truth. God's Word is truth. Because in God's Word, we'll see that there are foundational truths. And if we aren't built on a foundation, our life will be shaken. There are foundational truths in God's Word. And the most important truth of God's Word, if we want to put on the breastplate of righteousness, this is one of the truths, is this. John 14, 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of the foundational truths that we find in God's Word is we must believe in Jesus. In God's Word, it says about Jesus that He is God. He is God's Son. In God's Word, it says that He died, He buried, and He was rose from the dead. And that salvation is only found in Jesus and no one else. No Gandhi, no Buddha. They aren't different ways to the same God. Jesus is the only way to God. So the first step to putting on the truth is to believe what God's Word says about Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? And as we go through the different armor of God, you will notice that all the armor is centered on Jesus. If Jesus did not come, He did not die, bury, rise from the dead, there's no need for armor here. He is the source of all the armor because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our breastplate righteousness. He is our righteousness. Helmet of salvation. He is our salvation. He is the glue of the armor. And you take away Jesus, there's no use for the armor. Jesus is the common denominator of the armor. As it says in Colossians 2, 3, in Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the first step to putting on armor is believing what God's Word says. Jesus is the only way to God. He is God, and salvation is found in Him. You must believe the gospel. That's the first step to beginning to put on your belt of truth. The second step to putting on the belt of truth is choosing to believe and obey God's Word. Choosing to believe and obey God's Word. When we do this, even if it's baby steps, because you know, I say, hey, guys, you need to choose to obey God's Word. Oh, my goodness. Seems like it could be overwhelming, right? Is a baby expected to run a sprint? We take baby steps in our walk with God. We need to live and obey God's word, because when we begin to do that, our lives will become transformed. Not overnight, but day by day. You keep working, you keep seeking, you keep struggling through Scripture, you will begin to transform. And when we obey God's word, we build our life on a foundation. And when the storms come in life, we will make it through the storm, because we built our life, what? On our feelings and emotions and our ideas? No, we built our life on a foundation, on a rock. You guys remember that song years ago? Don't build your house on the sandy land. Bonnie, remember that one? We have a video. If you could pull it up, the video. It's a short video. Just listen to this. Olivia, when she was little, and they still like that, when they're in the car, I'll start singing it. And we had some things like, don't build your house on the sandy land, don't build it too near the shore. I mean, there's a certain part where we go, Jesus! And we all say Jesus together. And Olivia and Kelton love that song. We'd sing in the car, and I'm being goofy with them. But the teaching of that talks about putting on your belt of truth, is building your house on truth, the truth of God's word. And when we begin to do that, our life is built on a rock. And the storms may come and go, but you'll hold to that rock, and I believe that God's with me. We believe the truth of Scripture. We will get through any storm that the devil throws at us if we build our life on the truth of God's word. Because when we do that, our life becomes secure and more stable. Not perfect. That doesn't mean we're not going to face things. I'd like to promise you, if you believe, life will be perfect. Sorry, that's not in God's word. But God's word does say that we can go through any storm, that He's with us, and He will get us through the storm of life. So you will have security and peace, and an enemy may attack you, but you'll have that belt of truth on, and you will get through that. Also, if you live God's truth, we can know that our life pleases God. How many here would love to say, I know that I please God? Well, that'd be awesome. How do we know if we please God? We go by our feelings. I don't know about you, but feelings are like this. If I go by my ideas, it's like this. How do we know? Of course, it's God's word, right? When I went to, you guys ever hear of the ministry called Teen Missions International? Years ago, I went twice. It's a great, if you ever, parents want to send your kids on a great missions trip. I mean, it was great back then. I'm hoping it's still great today. But you go down there for 8 weeks. It's down in Merritt Island, Florida. You go down there for 2 weeks of training. And when you're down there for 2 weeks of training, then they send you to a foreign country to do missions work for 6 weeks. My first time I did it, my parents led a team. We went to Norway. It's called Norway Bike Team. And we went there and we did evangelism. We went way up to the northern tip of Norway where there's the midnight sun. The sun comes down a certain time of the year, goes boop, and comes right back up. And we did ministry. The second time I went to Jamaica to do a work outreach to help build a building. And during our 2 weeks of training, they teach you how to build a cinder block wall. And what they would do is when they taught you, they teach you how to mix up the concrete to the right consistency. But what they'd also do is they'd take like a peg, a wood peg, and they'd hit it in the ground, and they'd put another peg over here to lay out where you wanted your wall, and then you take a piece of twine. And then you'd begin on one side, and you'd lay your first block, and then you'd do your concrete on the end of the other block, and you'd line it up, and then you'd push the brick or the cinder block right next to that line. So it's almost practically touching it. And then you do each block. And by keeping right next to that line, you would know that your wall was going to be a straight line. Instead of just going, oh, I think, oh, that's right, and you move it, you'd have this weird wall. But you follow that line to know if you're building that wall in a straight line. And then you can use other things like a plumb line and other things to make the wall vertically straight. But the idea is God's word is like that. When we take our life and line up to it, we can know that we live a life that pleases God. When we don't, we know that we are not pleasing God. And you will experience joy. Joy and peace can only be found in Jesus. And joy and peace can only be found as we obey His word. Peace. There's no peace like knowing Jesus and obeying Him. Do you have that peace? Are you willing, wearing the belt of truth? Are you learning to put on? You don't get there one day. It's learning to do it daily to put on His belt of truth. But remember, these ideas are great. That's what God's word says. But now we add the spiritual battle to the scenario. This battle that takes place inside of us. You know what? The devil does not. The devil, his demons, do not want you to read God's word. One of his strategies is to do anything he can to keep us from reading it. If you decide, I'm taking that 4-month challenge, I'm going to spend time with God, I bet you that first week was probably like hell. You didn't like it. You're distracted. You don't understand it. You get frustrated. You get extra tired. You will watch that movie and not fall asleep, but you read God's word. Yes, I know it's our flesh. That's there, yes. I think the enemy jumps right on our flesh. And when we decide we want to go for God, all these things come into our life. Tired, you can't sleep now, so then, oh, you're too tired to spend time with God because you're trying to fall asleep. And all these things flood into our life. The devil wants to keep us from reading God's word. If we aren't reading God's word, we're not filling our mind with the truth. And if we don't fill our minds with the truth, will we obey it and live it? Another thing that the enemy does, and sometimes the enemy does things subtly, and sometimes it seems like he doesn't do some things not so subtly. But in the world, or a lot of the Christians, some of the things he does is he tries to get people not only to doubt Jesus and who Jesus is, but first, the first thing is that they could just get people to doubt God's word. Well, you know what? The Bible is old and obsolete. It does not have anything. We can't know. It's our culture is so different, it's not applicable for today. How many times do you hear that from people? It's old. It's inaccurate. Oh, there's no way. Or the devil will whisper this. Oh, you know, the Bible is a good book with great moral teachings. Well, it's not God's word, but if you could take some good valuable things from it. The devil wants us to doubt God's word. But like I said before, the devil also wants us to doubt who Jesus is. Oh, you know what? Jesus is not God. He was a prophet. He was a good man, a moral teacher, that if you follow his things about Jesus, you'll live a good life. He never claimed to be God. Jesus isn't the only way to God. If God was love, he would make many paths back to himself because he'd want to save more people. Wow, I never knew that. The devil wants us to doubt Jesus. He wants us to doubt the way to salvation. He wants us to doubt God's word. He wants us to doubt truth. You hear this? There is no such thing as absolute truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Let's just love one another and get along. You guys ever hear these when you're talking to people? You ever have those thoughts come out of nowhere into your mind? If we doubt God's word, we won't obey it. Oh, that God would open our eyes to who Jesus is more and his word. One of the tactics of the enemy is if he can't get you with Jesus and he can't get you in doubting his word, he likes to do little temptations to draw us away from portions of God's truth. If he could get us to compromise little truths of God's word, he'll eventually be able to get us to compromise big truths of God's word. When he does that, we get chinks in our belt. And if you're fighting an enemy and he sees there's a little thing, like you ever see, what was it, the Hobbit, one of the scales are missing, right? And if they could get that spear and you kill the dragon, the enemy's looking at us in a similar way for any chinks in our armor. And if we begin to compromise small truths of God's word, then he has an access and inroad into our life. Even though we may be seeing like, oh, my armor is pretty good here. He sees where we're making compromises with his armor. He wants us to break just a small portion of God's truth and his word. You ever hear this idea come in your mind? Don't worry. God loves you. He'll forgive you for doing that. Oh man, your God's such a loving God. I could do whatever I want. He's going to forgive me. Woohoo! I can do anything! Is that truth of God's word? He throws subtle things into our lives. One of the primary goals of the enemy is to infiltrate the church with the world. That we become like them. We are called to be completely different. You remember what it says in James? I think it's in the end of James. It says, hey, what is a pure and undefiled religion before God is what? To visit orphans and widows in their struggles and help them. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. One of the tactics of the enemy is not only to doubt Jesus and to doubt the truth of his word, to break away from certain truths of his word in little subtle ways, but the tactic of the enemy, the ultimate plan is that we become like the world. I'm going to do a true and false test. In your mind, you'll have to answer it. If some of you guys want to answer, that's up to you. Just to tell us maybe where the church is, where the world is infiltrating the church, where the enemy has come into the church. True or false? And you guys, one of you guys, if you're bold enough to answer, sure, go ahead. True or false? The types of movies I watch or the music I listen to doesn't really matter. True or false? Doesn't matter what movies I watch. Doesn't matter what music I listen to. God's grace will cover it. I can listen to whatever I want. Is that found in God's word?
No, it's false.
God's word tells us very clearly that the things we put into our mind affect the way we are and how we live. So what we listen to and what we watch, right? So you see how the enemy wants us to become like the world, to allow the garbage into our lives. True or false?
I'm a Christian, but I could date an unbeliever.
False. The truth in God's word. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
True or false? The type of friends I have are important.
The type of friends I have. Yeah. Doesn't Scripture say, the truth of Scripture, evil company corrupts good habits? My wife and I are very careful about our kids, who their friends are. That doesn't mean they can't have any unsafe friends, but we're very careful of the influence. So it is important. It's true. The types of friends I have are important.
True or false? It is okay to live with someone before you get married.
True or false? False. Nowhere in Scripture. The world says, you know what? There's a lot of divorce today because people didn't know who they're marrying. So why don't you just live with them for a while and then get married?
God's word is not only contrary to that, but God's word gives us things that if we begin to do before we get married, then we could find that one and know how to have a successful marriage. Not an easy marriage, but a God-filled marriage.
But the world, the devil's trying to infiltrate the church. What about this one? True or false?
We are to attend a gathering of believers when I feel like it.
True or false?
False. Where does it say in Scripture, I go to church when I feel like it?
Nowhere. Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of believers.
It should not be, we don't look at, in our culture, church is an option. It's like going to a baseball game. If we want to go or not, it's no longer a conviction. That's how the devil's come in. Where are the people saying, I will be there unless I am sick on bed, I'm going to be around God's people. And if you can't make it on Sunday, you make it another day of the week to gather with believers. I'm fine with that. There's some people that work on Sunday, they can't come, but then they will search out and find a group of believers to hang out with weekly. It's not an option for the believer. We try to make it an option. The enemy comes in and says, oh, you do this, you're tired, this is going on. You need a break from church for a while. Oh, that is totally from the enemy.
God never tells us to take a break from each other. We need each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other.
If I have, true or false, if I have time, I will use my spiritual gifts.
True or false?
If I have time, I will use my spiritual gifts.
False. Where does it say in Scripture, if you have time, I want you to use the gifts that I've given you. He tells us to use our spiritual gifts. If we have time or not, we need to make time to use our spiritual gifts.
Do you see how our culture's changing? My wife and I, we're running with our head cut off. Sometimes I just wonder if it'd be better to blow up our TV, blow up our cars, go back to horses and carriages, go live out of the countryside, and go back to a simple life. Does anybody have that yearning somewhat? Yes.
We're too busy. So we have to prioritize. Spiritual gifts, God says, use them because I'm giving them to you. It does not say, use it if you have time. But how many people are just too busy to have time to use your spiritual gifts?
Because we prioritize things before God's word, his truth.
What about this, true or false? I should give money regularly to the work of God.
True. Do you remember the widow, the lady with no money? And Jesus was sitting there and the rich people were giving all this money. And then this widow came and she just gave a little bit that she had, and God, and Jesus goes, she's given more than the rich people.
I don't even want to talk necessarily about tithing right here. Sure, we have bills and that's important. But you know what's sad about people not giving? Is there's a spiritual truth in God's word that says
when you give to me what's your first fruit, that which is you get, you have, and that which is important, when you give it to me, it's worship. You're saying thank you for providing for me. So it's not so much how much you give, but the heart behind you. That's what God looks at. So when people think of, you know, there could be people here that give a lot, but their heart's not right, it really doesn't benefit them much. But if someone here doesn't have much, but they're like, I'm going to give because I worship God, and I give a little bit, God will receive that as more worship than the person gives because they're routinely giving to the church. Do you see what I mean? It's sad. But other people just don't give because they don't have the money, but they don't know that. If they give, not only God says, I'll bless you, but God says, I'll give you more money. And that's in Scripture. If you give, He will give you more. Not in the, woohoo, if I give, I'm going to be rich and buy myself a Lamborghini. That's not true, but God's word does say, you give and I will open the heaven. I will give to you. But we don't give because we're scared. I struggle with finances. I've always struggled with that because I do the finances. But am I willing to give out of worship and let God provide for my needs? This one's a tough one for me, this next one. True or false? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so I should take care of it. You know, I like candy. I'm still a big kid. You give me candy, my kids hide their candy because if they know daddy's around, I pick out the good stuff. I need to treat my body like the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember that story from my brother's book about the meeting with the Buddhist guy and when he was telling that guy about how our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's like, wow, you guys must really take care of your body. And just like, not really. But that is a truth in Scripture. That's a truth I fail at. If there's sugar and sweets, my wife and I, me more. True or false? It is okay and normal for men to lust for women. He who looks at a woman to lust for has committed adultery with her in his heart. It's true. I can say it is normal for men to struggle with that, but is okay and normal. I was this guy driving at work. He's like, oh yeah, I can look at a woman just as long as I don't stare too long. And he's kind of trying to justify what he does. We're guys, we just do that. I wasn't taught that way. So my mind was different. My dad taught me, no, this is what I do when I struggle, and this is what we're supposed to do. So I learned to teach my mind on what to do. And do I fail? Yes. Do I always do it? No. But I, by God's help, can do it. But in the church, well, that's just men. That's the way they do it. Pornography's okay. True or false? Pornography's okay in a marriage relationship to help you. That is so unbiblical. So unbiblical. It's in God's word. I can show you when I ask. I'll show you. We'll say, no, but there'll be truth in God's word that he says, no, don't do that. I'll protect you. Don't do that. In God's word. Last one. True or false? God has called only certain Christians to tell others about Jesus. Some way to tell people about Jesus. You have the worship team come forward. Do you see how the enemy wants us to doubt God's word, wants us to doubt Jesus? He wants to take subtle truths of God's word. He wants to form us to be like the world. Any of these questions you see, I see in my heart where I compromise. Do you? Am I the only one that sees myself compromising? So what do we do if we see that we're giving in to the enemy? Is one, we confess it to him. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess it, we repent from it, and we daily put on his belt of truth and saying, God, by your help, I will live the word of God. Today I have a question for you. Are you reading God's word? Are you listening to the enemy and not reading it? Are you listening to your flesh? Are you daily learning to put on the belt of truth? You guys, it's not going to happen overnight. Take steps to put on the armor. When you live and obey God's word, the enemy can attack you all he wants right here. That's what we're talking about. He's not going to get through because you have based your life on God's word. Let us worship.